It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday, October 19th. I'm Molly Wood in for Ben Johnson. So Twitter, kind of a big part of this year's election cycle. It is a new pulpit for candidates, but also a forum for voters to discuss issues or, you know, yell about them. And MIT's Laboratory for Social Machines has developed a tool to analyze those tweets. It's called the Electome, and one of the people behind it is Bill Powers, a longtime journalist and a research scientist at MIT. He's on the line now from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Bill, thanks for talking with me.
Sure. Delighted to be here, Molly.
All right. So describe to me what exactly the Electome does.
So the Electome is an effort to use data and data science to do something useful and new with this gigantic social media response to politics, and in particular to this election.
Are the conversations on Twitter representative? Are they, I mean, do you believe that they're an accurate representation of what people care about?
No. So they're not an accurate representation of the public at large, but it's a very interesting slice of the public, in part because people on Twitter tend to be politically engaged.
So the Electome team has teamed up with the Committee on Presidential Debates to use this tool's analysis to brief Chris Wallace of Fox News, the moderator for tonight's presidential debate. Can you give us a sense of what you talked with him about?
So we found that since the debates began, so this is really the conversation on Twitter that has popped basically since the beginning of the debate period late last month, the top six subjects were fitness for office of the two candidates, and that kind of gets into personality and ethics on both sides. Number two, foreign policy and national security. Number three, Trump's taxes was huge. Number four, rape and sexual assault, which we all know that sort of began in a big way with the Access Hollywood video of Trump. Mm-hmm. Number five, liberals and the media, which tends to be driven by Trump's followers talking about liberal bias and people on the other side of the fence. And the final one is guns.
What else do you hope that this tool will do? I mean, are you looking to improve discourse overall, elevate this sort of small slice of conversation? What are the goals here?
So in a way, it's a sort of new version of polling. It's a way of understanding the public, but they're speaking out there in the wild as opposed to in a standardized conversation in a phone call.
Bill Powers is a journalist and research scientist at MIT's Laboratory for Social Machines. Bill, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Google's new flagship smartphone, the Pixel, starts shipping today. I've been testing a Pixel XL for a few days now. That's the big screen version. And it's very good, minus a few interface quibbles. But of course, the big selling point is the Google Assistant, which Google has been bragging about nonstop in its last two keynote presentations. So let's try it out. Okay, Google, what's the weather like today?
It'll be sunny in Emeryville today with a forecasted high of 67 and a low of 51. Right now, it's 64 and sunny.
What about tomorrow? Oh, she doesn't know that I want to know about tomorrow. All right, let's try something else. You know, Alexa tells really good jokes. Siri, not so much. Let's see how the Google Assistant stacks up. Okay, Google, tell me a joke.
What do cats eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies.
Okay, I know it's because I have a 9-year-old, but that's kind of funny and messed up. Now, under the joke on the screen, there are all these little buttons for more options, like a game or, a poem. Let's try that.
Here's a poem by Lord Byron. So we'll go no more a-roving so late into the night, though the heart be still as loving, and the moon be still as bright, for the sword outwears its sheath, and the soul wears out the breast, and the heart must pause to breathe, and love itself have rest, though the night was made for loving, and the day returns too soon, yet we'll go no more a-roving by the light of the moon.
Once more with feeling, Google. Earlier this week, German regulators asked Tesla to stop using the term autopilot to describe its driver assist features because they said it can give drivers the impression that they don't have to do any work. Dutch officials are reportedly considering whether to make a similar request. So what is in a name? Anthony Shore is a linguist. His company is Operative Words, and he's worked with companies like Google, Toyota, and Samsung to help name their products. Anthony, what do you think autopilot communicates, and was it the wrong name to choose for that feature?
Autopilot would literally suggest automatic pilot. And given that the technology is really semi-automatic and that the technology requires some driver assistance, I'm afraid the name misses the mark and is a bit of an overreach.
Is that common, do you think? I mean, Tesla is known for, taking on the sort of personality of its founder. And you see a lot more tech companies in particular trying to be very personal or friendly with their naming. Do you see that being a potential problem down the road, even more so than it became for Tesla?
I believe consumers will give marketers a lot of leeway, understanding that they are marketing their products and that there may be some puffery that happens. However, when you're dealing with matters that can impact life and death, I think diminishing the puffery and erring on the side of accuracy is a better way to go.
And then can you give us a peek into the secret sauce? Do you spend time with a thesaurus? Are you making like a Pinterest board?
You know, for different namers work in different ways. And for me, I need a lot of stimulation by being exposed to many different words at once. And every word I hear or every word I see goes through a filter. And I ask myself, would this make a good name for this company or product?
And is there a name you've come up with that you think worked really well?
There's a new Wi-Fi company out there that's called Plume. And what I like about Plume is that it's very lifelike, and there's a sense of a source that's sort of springing outward. And I think the natural imagery that attends Plume is really quite beautiful and contrasts against the underlying very advanced technology that they're deploying.
Anthony Shore is a linguist. His company is Operative Words. He has worked with many tech companies to name their products. And Anthony, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.